Amen. You can have a seat. Will you join me in thanking our worship team? How's everybody doing? It is March. Happy March to everyone. That means that midterms are coming up. How do you feel? On a scale of 1 to 10, how tired are we? Most of you just said yeah, which wasn't an option, which proves to me that you're pretty tired. So we want to serve you as student services. We want to help you not be so tired, or at least make it through the tiredness into spring break, which will be here before you know it. So in order to serve you well, we're going to give you some coffee and some food coming up in the next week or so. This Friday night, we have Criswell Coffee House, which will be out in the courtyard this Friday evening. We will have lattes out for you, music, live music, lots of opportunities for you to hang out and take a break, or even bring your studying with you and get some work done there. And then next week, we have Library Nights, which is a first ever event that we are doing here on campus, in which we'll have a time for you this coming Tuesday to go into the library and have free dinner, have our tutors there available to help you with whatever you need, and just have a place where you can study with your friends and some free food. So get excited for that. We are here to help you make it through midterms and to spring break. But what we have today is an opportunity to worship the Lord together and to hear from His Word. And so I'm really excited to introduce to you all Dr. Ryan Jesperson. Dr. Ryan Jesperson leads the Dallas Baptist Association, which is a group of over 480 autonomous churches who work together to see people come to faith in Christ and to seek community transformation. He previously served at Dallas Baptist University as Director of Denominational Relations, the Baptist General Convention of Texas as Director of Urban Missions, and as Senior Pastor of Grace Temple Baptist Church in the Oak Cliff neighborhood of Dallas. Dr. Jesperson holds degrees from Dallas Baptist University, where he got his BA, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where he received a Master's of Divinity, and Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, where he received his Doctor of Ministry. He is also a published author, I believe we've got some books in the back, who speaks regularly in churches in the Dallas area. Ryan is married to his wife, Joanna, who is here with him today. Shout out to her. And they also have two daughters, Rachel and Mary Kate. Will you please join me in welcoming Dr. Ryan Jesperson?
It is such a joy for me to be here at Criswell College. The reputation of this school is both, frankly, inspiring and a little bit intimidating, too, because you all are really kind of the cream of the crop when it comes to theological education. The Criswell reputation has just been something that has been pretty amazing. And thank you, Dr. Creamer, for allowing me to be here, and just a joy for me to be here today. Let me, if I could, just say a quick word about Dallas Baptist Association. What I want you to understand about Baptist associations, and I hope you will get involved in your Baptist association wherever you end up in ministry, and certainly if you're here in Dallas, we'd love for you to do that. But just understand this: we are we're about 485 churches or so, but those churches make up the association. Those churches are the association. And so when you think about the association, we have an office in East Dallas. We're actually going to work on the exterior of it. A pastor recently told me it looked like a prison on the outside, so we're going to be working on that. We have Mount Lebanon Baptist Encampment that we own and operate, but we are our churches. And so when I go to our churches, I always tell them I am standing in the headquarters of one of our churches. And the question that we are constantly asking as an associational staff is this: is there a church within ministerial proximity to every person in Dallas and Rockwall County that deeply cares about their salvation? And so when we look at replanting and planting, revitalization, all those kinds of things, and helping our churches work through that, that's really that question that we are asking is, does every person in this area have a church that cares about them deeply? I invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, we're going to look at a passage of scripture that I am sure you have heard a message on before, but this morning I want us to think about this in terms of the courage that you and I need for ministry. Right now, a former comedian, an actor, frankly one who has done what some of us would consider inappropriate, or what maybe all of us would consider inappropriate in comedy, has become the leader of the resistance in Ukraine. President Zelensky, when offered by the United States government the opportunity to evacuate, which by the way was the right thing for our government to do, and run his country from somewhere else, reportedly said these words: "The fight is here. I need ammunition, not a ride." Well, friends, this morning I am convinced that the type of ministry that God is going to call us to do as believers, the type of ministry that God is going to call many of you in either vocational or volunteer leadership in the church, is going to require a type of courage perhaps we have not seen in a long time. Because frankly, since the time I became a pastor, even 15 years ago, I believe it has actually become harder to be a pastor or a church leader today. We are living in a divided culture. We are living in a time where not only are people seemingly against the church, a lot of times the church itself can be against each other. And so you get into these types of fights that you see in churches. I know that's always gone on, but it seems like it's increasing, or it may just be the fact that I became a DOM 8 months ago and I'm the one who deals with a lot of it now. But there is all of these things that are taking place in the life of the church. And in Joshua chapter 1, we are going to read the story of a person, or the beginning of the story of a person that is going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And you'll notice that in the passage, multiple times, God will say to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." And I'm convinced the reason he says this to Joshua multiple times is that probably at this point, Joshua is pretty terrified. I mean, there's a couple of things that are kind of working against Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1. One is the fact that he is dealing with his own grief. You have the death of Moses that has occurred. Moses has been Joshua's spiritual father for at least 40 years, going back. And so when you think about the fact that Joshua now is dealing with the fact that his spiritual father is gone, it's also likely that Joshua's own parents, or perhaps family members, have died. And now he is standing and being asked to be the leader of moving into a land that 40 years earlier, 10 of the 12 spies who went in said, "We can't take it." So you've got the fact that he's grieving. You have the fact that he is looking at the land and probably thinking this is difficult. You also have the fact that probably within the nation of Israel at this point, if we know anything about ancient times, it is likely that we are now dealing with the possibility of a rebellion. And so all of this Joshua is dealing with and having to work through, and God is going to say to him, "Be strong and courageous." So Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, let's stand together as we read God's word. The Bible says this: "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west.'" Verse 5. "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Pray with me. Father, I pray that you would take this passage of Scripture, and God, you would use it this morning to help us be the people that you have called us to be. That you would help us to be the people that will take your word into a world that is hurting. Father, we ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you would. The first thing I want you to see this morning from the passage of Scripture that we have selected is this. Have courage because you have a job to do. Let me say that again. Have courage because you have a job to do. Look here at verse 6. It says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Here, in essence, what God is saying to Joshua is, be strong and courageous because you are going to do it. Be strong and courageous because I have placed something in front of you to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Talks about this idea that God has given us a work, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And so here's the reality. I don't know what it's going to be for you. I don't know if it is going to be being the pastor of a church, and maybe the pastor of a difficult church. I don't know if it's going to be being a church planter or a revitalization pastor, or if you're going to be a leader in a church. I love as I was talking to your president this morning, this idea that Criswell is really trying to take away that dichotomy between the laity and the clergy. Because the fact is that whether you're going to be a paid church leader or not, God is calling you into ministry. And so I don't know exactly what it is that's going to be for you, but what I do know is this, is God has called you to something. And so as He has called you to something, it is time to move forward. In ministry, you don't move forward because everything is right. You don't move forward because everything looks good. You move forward because God has called you. You move forward because God has pushed you in that direction. Elizabeth Elliot, the great missionary herself and missionary widow, said these words, sometimes we are called to obey. When we are called to obey, the fear does not subside, and we are expected to move against the fear. One must choose to do it afraid. Friends, I want you to hear me this morning, that there will be moments in your life that you question whether or not you can continue forward. And for all of you in this room, it will be different. It's probably not going to be taking a land like Joshua is here. But it's going to be something God has called you to. And the reality is this, is that there will be times that the only thing that you can cling to as things get hard and as things get scary is the fact that God has called you. It is the fact that you know this is the calling of God on your life. When the Dallas Baptist Association executive director role first came open, there were a number of people who asked me about it. It was kind of natural just because of what I've done and kind of my history, in DBA, and I'd been in different kind of offices, volunteer offices in DBA through the years, and had been involved. And I remember one evening, I actually opened up my computer and I went and looked at the profile for the DBA executive director, what they were looking for. And I literally just closed my computer and said, there's no way. I mean, they were using words like Baptist statesman, and I mean, all these. I was like, I'm not all that. And then when I was seriously approached about the position, and I was asked to pray about it, and then as we kind of went through the process, and it became pretty obvious that God was moving me in this direction. I remember in the very last interview, somebody asked me. They said, Ryan, how are you going to handle just kind of all of it? And it's somewhat complex just for an association. And the answer I had was this: there is no question in my mind at that point, and that had gone from like December 2nd when I was seriously approached about it, and this was kind of the end of February, about a year ago, in fact. And I remember saying to this person, the reality is this, is that it is my calling, and it is the assurance of that calling that will push me forward in doing this. And so when you are sure that God has called you to something, you can move forward even if it is scary. The second truth I would say that you should look at from this passage is this: have courage because you are in God's word. Look there at verses 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. One of the things that I think is really key for you to understand, and this is a school that is so built on the Word of God, it almost feels unnecessary to say, but I think perhaps in a place like this, maybe it's even more necessary to say, that you are not going to wake up 20 years from now and be a spiritual person. You're not going to wake up 20 years from now and be a godly man or woman just by accident. But rather, my encouragement to you is this, is that as you are getting the habits you are in right now, the habit of being in the Word, the habit of daily prayer, the habits, the spiritual disciplines, that would be something you continue, and that you continue doing it even when you don't feel like doing it. Because there will come a point in your life, there will come a point in your life that you think there are things that seemingly, maybe they're not more important, but they are certainly more urgent. And so as you are trying to move forward and you are trying to move into all that God has for you, staying in the Word, being in the Word, is something that is so very important. Just a word of testimony for you. So my first 7 years of full-time ministry, I was a pastor. And so I did what the founder and namesake of this great school talked about. I gave my mornings to God. I'm sure you've heard that. And so I'd spend the mornings in prayer and in study of the Word, and I was getting ready for Sunday. And so God was just giving me this enriching time. Well, then I went into denominational work. I wasn't necessarily expecting to do that, but there was certainly a call of God on my life to move into that type of work. And the thing that I realized is that I had to become very, very intentional about making sure that the schedule of my day, that the fact that I had meetings and people want to see me and there were things that needed to take place, did not crowd out that time that I need it in the Word of God. Because it is so, I mean, yesterday I had 7 meetings. That was a little bit heavy, but not that heavy of a day for someone in kind of the role I'm in. And there is this temptation with all of the meetings and all of the going back and forth and all of the things that you need to do and all of the people who want to talk to you, that you get to the point where you ask yourself, man, why have I moved away from my time in the Word? And so my encouragement to you right now is this, is that the habits that you are forming right now of spending time in God's Word would be a habit that you keep throughout your life. Because when you are in God's Word, it gives you a foundation for everything else in your life that you are dealing with. When you are in God's Word, it gives you the courage to move forward no matter what it is that He may be dealing with you about, or no matter what it is that may be in front of you. God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous because you are in my law. And of course, for Joshua, it was talking about the Pentateuch, but for you and I, it is talking about the entire counsel of Scripture, the inerrant Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when we read God's Word, it gives us strength for each new day. The one time you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is speaking to you is when you are reading His Word or when His Word is being read to you. Be in His Word. The third truth, quickly, that I want you to see from this passage of Scripture is this: have courage because God is with you. Have courage because God is with you. I know that sounds just so simple to say, but there's going to come a moment in your life, if it hasn't already come, that you are going to be in such a deep and dark place. And oftentimes, listen to me, oftentimes that moment comes in the leadership of a church. That you were in such a deep and a dark place and you were going to wonder, God, where are you in the midst of this? Know that He's there. Know that the promise of Scripture, and you see it over and over, we see it here as a direct promise to Joshua, but we see it over and over in Scripture that God is going to be with us. That God is going to never leave us nor forsake us. And if God calls you to a hard ministry, if God calls you to a place that is difficult and that is hard to deal with and that you don't really know, you just have to know this reality, that if He has called you there, He is with you in it and He will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, Joshua didn't know yet all that was coming. He didn't know yet all the battles that he would fight. He didn't know yet, but what God wanted him to know was that He was going to be with him. Friends, this morning, we don't know yet all that is coming. We don't know yet all that is before us. When I was in college, I was dealing with, God, are you calling me to the mission field? God, are you calling me to the pastorate? God, where is it? The American pastorate? God, where is it that you are dealing with me? I didn't know yet where it was I was going. And in fact, a year and a half ago, I had no idea I'd be here. But no matter where He calls, know that He is with you, that He is walking with you in the midst. And whether that is a difficult deacons meeting you walk through, or whether that is a church in an area of the city that is hard and that is crime-ridden, and God has called you there to revitalize and replant and begin to see community transformation there, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's with you. Whatever he calls you to, he is with you. Pray with me. Father, I pray that, God, you would take this passage of Scripture and you would use it, God, to remind us that we can be strong and courageous. And Father, as we enter into a time now of Q&A and talking and thinking through some of these issues, God, I pray that, Lord, you would show us just what it is you want us to do. Father, I pray that you would take this time for these students right now, and Lord, let it be a time of shaping for their calling. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ryan. Now time for the hard-hitting Q&A.
Oh, this thing is heavy. We're at Criswell College, man. This is a heavy pulpit. Love it. There you go.
I'll let you guys get that.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for being here.
Put this over here.
First thing.
Yeah.
You brought a couple things with you.
Yeah.
In the back. Some a book to give away. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many of those there are, maybe 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the book. Who would benefit most from the book?
Yeah, so if you have an interest in doing urban ministry or doing specifically established church urban ministry, which we desperately need, not only in Dallas, but I can tell you my counterparts in San Antonio, in Houston, in Fort Worth would say the same thing, that we need those that are called out by God to go and help reestablish churches. If that's an interest for you, I'd invite you to take a copy of the book. They're free.
And you'll sign it.
Sure. Yeah, I'll sign it. If that's a thing, man, I'll definitely sign it. And Rainer Publishing did those, and so I should. They're not free. They're complimentary. Those are complimentary of Dallas Baptist Association. Of the 485 churches of the Dallas Baptist Association.
I thought you were going to say $485.
No.
I'm sure it's good, but.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, if you have an interest in serving in camp ministry, one of the things I have always said is the very best children's ministers and the very best youth ministers I've ever served with served at a camp at some point. And so Dallas Baptist Association owns and operates Mount Lebanon Baptist Encampment. And we have a new director at the camp. His name is Eddie Walker, who is incredible, kind of known in the camping world. And so if you'd be interested in serving there this summer, we would be glad to visit with you. There's some brochures on the back. You can talk to me about that, and I can get you connected with the right folks. We'd love to have you serve with us. Also, if you have an interest in serving this summer, maybe in one of our churches, come talk to me. We have some stipend money that we can actually give to our churches to have you serve with them over the summer. And so I'd be glad to just visit with you about that. So
lots of opportunities.
Yeah, lots of opportunities. Stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
People can reach out to you, find your email's pretty easy. Ryan
at ryan@dba.net.
Okay.
And or dom@dba.net. So, and I have some cards with me too.
Yeah. So Jeremy, you've got these in the back, and you're gonna follow up with students on Mount Lebanon stuff. So,
yeah,
thanks for bringing that. I wanted to open up with a question before we go to the students, because you and I have some similar things that we, you know, you were denominational relations at DBU. I do external relations here. It's, you know, so we, not every student here is Southern Baptist,
right?
But that's our roots, obviously,
right,
very
right.
deeply, and we
right.
are committed to the Baptist faith mm-hmm. message as our articles of faith. I would love for you to just give a quick primer to the students about if you're talking about just there. I mean, I think it's especially generationally the question comes up: what's the value of denominations? Why stay with this? Why press in? Why not just kind of, you know, there's trouble that comes and there's scandals and whatever. So I would love to hear you talk just a little bit, because you're on the bottom level of I say bottom, you're on the closest level to the church, right?
Yeah.
So there's associations and states and
national,
but just give what's the value of denominational work?
Right. So I think one of the things you have to understand about denominational work is when you talk about levels specifically, is the top level, humanly speaking, of the denomination is the local church. That really is where everything else flows from. And so for me, let me just talk locally for a second. When we talk about local associations, I think it's important for us to understand that you really do need a connecting point with other churches, and you need a place where you can connect and collaborate. And so that is really what we offer at DBA. And so we have, you know, if you go to we're a fairly large association. If you go to some smaller associations, you'll have like weekly gatherings, monthly gatherings, that kind of thing. And so I would encourage you, when you go, get involved in those things. You will find friends in that. You will find partners in that. You will find those that will help you move in ministry and do things in your community that perhaps you would not be able to do by yourself or not be able to think of by yourself. And then, like at DBA, because, you know, of our size, we actually have like 6 of these groups currently around the city that may grow at some point. But I just think it's that connecting. And you also, for Baptists, I think we have to have a local group that did what I talked about earlier, which is be looking at the city. We've appointed a guy on staff recently, and literally his job is to look at the city and see where is it that churches are needed, where is it that we need to replant, plant new. Where are the people groups? There's over 400 people groups in Dallas, and so we need to be looking at that. And so I think that's a lot of the value of the local association. And then for me, the value of the association was it was a place where I found community. It was a place where I found other people who understood what I was going through. I do think you have to kind of have a healthy balance with this, because I think a lot of pastors have this idea that, man, we can't have friends in our church, right? Don't be friends with anybody in your church because they'll turn on you, whatever. Well, the reality is sometimes they will turn on you. I mean, that's true. But I do think you need to have healthy friendships in the life of your church. But I think you also have to have some healthy friendships outside the life of the church. And I think that's what you find in the local association. Now, when you get to the state and the national expression of Baptist life, I think that, you look at everything that's happening on the Southern Baptist Convention right now. It is, some of it's very, very sad, it's difficult, but we still have the greatest mission force in the world. The International Mission Board is still the greatest mission, I say the greatest, it's the largest. I don't want to bash anyone else who has a mission force, but it is the largest. The idea of cooperative missions, of giving cooperatively to something, so that our missionaries, though they connect to local churches, they're not having to constantly come back from the field and beg. I think that's really, really key. And then, you know, there's schools, you know, we have our seminaries. I know Criswell has a relationship to the denomination in some way. I'll let Dr. Creamer talk about all that. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of good things, both at the state and national expressions of Baptist life. But remember this, keep this in mind. And if anybody tells you differently, they are wrong. The top of the Baptist pyramid is the local church. Every now and again somebody will call and complain about a pastor, right? And I'll just explain. I'm like, listen, in Baptist life, I work for them. They don't work for me. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And everybody on, you know, if you use the term levels, on all the levels, you know, need to have that understanding that really this is about the local church. And so we're actually going to walk through a process probably in DBA in the next year or so, just kind of looking at why do we exist, and why would our churches create us today if we didn't already exist? So anyways, long answer to a short question. But
no, and there's one thing I would add to that, not that I'm the one being interviewed, but there's a principle I learned a few years ago. The word is subsidiarity, and the idea that problems are best solved closest, the closer you are to it,
yeah,
the more you're able to fine tune.
Right.
So in the governmental sense, I think it's like, okay, does the Department of Education have a better sense of what this school needs?
Right.
Or does this school board have a sense of what this school needs?
Right.
And I think there's a place for both when it comes to, we're talking convention level, national association, but the association is geographic.
Yes, it's geographic. Local, it's closer.
And that's why
we've said, okay, we have 500 or 485 churches. We're the largest association. There's a whole story. Houston kicked out a bunch of their churches. You can get Josh Ellis up here and explain all that to you. But I mean, it's a whole story. Don't worry about it.
After Q&A.
Yeah. But so we're the biggest, right? So that's why I said, okay, if we're gonna be an association that's effective, I think we've got to do some with kind of this regionalization. And so that's what we're trying to kind of accomplish. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Jonathan's got the mic. We got a question right over. Is that Cy? Bright lights. Sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, hey.
Hi, I'm Cy. So my question is basically about you were talking about callings.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm pretty sure we've all received like a calling from God.
Yeah.
And a lot of times for me, like personally, it's been something future related.
Yeah.
You know, a calling for like the future of my life.
Right.
A future calling. And my question is, it's so easy to get wrapped up in that future calling on my life.
Right.
And start living for that moment.
Yeah.
For that one day this, you know. And I don't even like take the steps to get there.
Right.
And even then, like, I don't even live in the moment.
Right.
And I become lazy, or I just become stuck in like another headspace, you know, because I'm always living for the future instead of, obviously, you know. So how do I still like take the steps towards that future calling, but also recognize that there's a calling on my life in this moment?
Absolutely.
And, like, how do you decipher the difference between those things, I guess?
I mean, I can just walk you through my experience with some of that. So for years, I felt like God was calling me to be a pastor of a church, but that it was several years before God brought me to that. I didn't think for years that I was called to be a DOM. I thought for about 3 months I might be called to be a DOM, then I became a DOM. I think there's a couple of things I think you've got to do. Sai is your name? Yeah. I think there's a couple of things. One is continually be in God's word, like we talked about. Continually do that. Continually serve. I've heard it said before, like, if you're not ready to, you know, put up chairs, and I did all that. Like, if you're not ready to sweep the floor and put up chairs and mow the grass, like, you're not ready to preach. And so I think there's definitely there's a part of, man, just get involved and be involved as much as you can in the life of the local church. I'd also say, and I'm talking specifically, I don't know what your calling is specifically, but whatever you feel like you're called to, latch on to someone who is doing that well and spend some time with that person. Because, I mean, I can tell you, like, when I first became a pastor, I mean, I had been a kind of a pastoral intern / associate / step and fetch it, I mean, for like 5 years before that. But even then, I still wasn't fully ready to step into that. And God still had some molding in my life. I remember, one night I get this email. I had changed like the worship on that Sunday. I get this email, and I wasn't married yet. Joanna and I had not met. And I'm in my office, like, at 5:30 in the evening. I get this email, and this lady is mad. And I mean, I literally thought, like, I'm about to get fired. Like, and I called one of the older deacons in our church, and he said two things to me. He said, Ryan, one, don't worry about it. Of course, this woman was my mother's age, but this man was my grandfather's age. He said, first, don't worry about that girl. And second, let's just not do that again. Let's just not do that crazy music stuff you were doing again. And it was... It was, I think, in that I had this really gracious church that even then was kind of walking me, you know, into being a pastor and being a leader. And so I think the thing that you have to get is, one, find that mentoring, two, serve all you can, and then three, understand that even when you get there, even when you get to the moment that you think you're there, you're still not fully ready for it. And God is going to continue preparing you in all of that time. So.
Got one more question out here.
Yes, my name is Jason. I've seen a lot of talk lately about pastors' burnout, and you kind of hinted at this, but what advice would you give somebody going into that ministry?
One, I would say, what we talked about, staying in the Word. I think that is the most obvious, but it's also the most important, right? But let me say a couple other things. Secondary to that, I would say make sure that you are taking that Sabbath every week, whatever that looks like. Even if you're a bivocational pastor, because a lot of times what happens with bivocational pastors is they feel like they have to do everything. And I think what you've got to do as a bivocational pastor is you have to say, okay, or as a pastor, a full-time pastor, you have to say, okay, there comes a moment every week that I'm going to stop, that I am going to not continue to go. And so whether that is for you Saturday, the last several years, as I've worked kind of in different, parts of denominational life, if you will, and I was doing interim pastors, I would always try to take like Friday at 5 o'clock to Saturday at 5 o'clock as my Sabbath, very close to the Jewish Sabbath. Sundown to sundown. But I would try to do that. And then second, man, find some friends, man. I mean, I think that you probably have lots of friends. I'm not saying that to you directly, but have some people in your life that, man, you can call, have some people you can spend some time with. Right now we're doing kind of these regional groups in DBA. Eventually we're going to get to the point where like we're trying to really kind of put together, kind of smaller pastor groups. And we're not trying to manufacture friendship, but we are trying to give guys an opportunity to be together with each other. And so, yeah, I'd say those two things, man, that day off and then, man, some friends. But the top really is, man, I mean, find that time with the Lord, because when you find that, I mean, God is going to sustain you as you move through. The other thing I'd say is this, is don't be afraid of the mental health conversation. If you're having issues that you need professional help for, get professional help. And that's becoming more and more accepted now than it has been in the past. But even now, there's still a bit of a stigma around it. And frankly, in Baptist life anyways, reach out to guys like me. I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, guys like me, man, we want to be there to help. And we want to be a friend. And I'd say those two things, two or three things there. So anyways.
Well, hey, would you guys thank Dr. Jesperson with me for being here? Can I pray for you real quick?
And then
we're
going
to have one song to dismiss. God, thank you for Ryan. Thank you for bringing him here today, for the relationship that we at Chris will have with him and the DBA. And I pray that you would continue to bless his ministry there and his work, his family. Lord, thank you for Joanna's ability to be here today. I pray that you bless his marriage and help him to continue to be able to carve out the amount of time he needs for his family, Lord, so that he's being the minister there you've called him to be, Lord. And I pray that you would make him effective, that you would hold him close to you. It's all these things we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.